Hello, guys. Welcome back to Even More News, the first, and I gotta say it, the only news podcast. Joining us today is someone who might push back on that. It's our co-host from our other news podcast, Worst Year Ever, Robert Evans. Yeah, that's it.
That's scotch. Sorry, there's scotch in my mouth. That was why gurgling. I made the horrible sound I made. I'm drinking because of politics.
Because of politics. Yeah, guys, happy fucking second debate day.
Hello.
I know.
Hi.
Happy. Oh, hi, Cody.
Hello.
I forgot to introduce
Unbelievable.
You.
Unbelievable.
And you're right,
right
there.
I'm right
front of
here.
Me.
I'm right
I'm
here.
Sorry. You
right
just jumped in.
Here, right now.
Yeah.
Cody's on the internet. I don't know if that's guys, how the song goes. I forget the song.
That's the words.
We're fast and very loose tonight.
Thank you.
In our post debate mm-hmm. coverage.
Oh yeah, it was a debate tonight. Another day that was today, possibly
yes.
appropriately, International Stutter Day or Stutter Awareness Day.
Thank you for bringing
the
background to
you're
that.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, the guy who taught me how to fence had a stutter.
Was it Joe Biden?
No, it was not Joe Biden. No.
Oh.
It was.
Was it another vice president?
He was not a vice president of anything. He was a guy who had a very large bag of swords at the YMCA, and for about $25, he would teach you how to use them for several weeks.
This feels like a really formative experience for you.
It was. He ruled.
Progression of sword
I appreciate
lover.
That this was at the YMCA and not, like, just a guy. Like, easily the story could have been like, oh, yeah, it's a guy with a bag of swords that I knew.
No, I met him in the woods. He had swords. Taught me how to fight. Yeah.
I mean, it was Texas, right? So
it was in Texas, yes. Yeah.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Even More News. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Explore new skills, deepen existing passions, and get lost in creativity. Be one of the first 1,000 people to use our link to get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership at skillshare.com/news2. That's the numeral 2.
New code for you guys. Also, a big thanks to ExpressVPN for supporting Even More News. Did you know that your internet service provider, like, say, a Comcast or Verizon, knows every single website you visit? Well, you can use our exclusive link, expressvpn.com/more news, and you can get an extra 3 months free. And in case you think I said VPM, I didn't. I said VPN. Yeah. E as in Edward. X as in Xavier. P as in Peter. R as in Rachel. E as in Empress. S as in Susan. S as in Susan. V as in Victor. P as in Peanut. N as in news. But guys, hello. How did you enjoy your debate experience tonight? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
I am as horny as one of those lizards in the desert that shoots blood from its eyes.
Are they? Do they?
Because they're called horny devils.
Are they?
Yeah, kind of. That's one of their nicknames. Yeah.
Robert has been drinking.
I have been drinking quite a bit.
I'm drinking tea.
And this bottle of Talisker doesn't have a lot of life left in it.
Cody, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a beer. It's an IPA. It's only a couple, that I have had.
I've had none, but this caffeine's going to keep me up all night.
Yeah, you're drinking it late. You're drinking late.
It's too, well, because this is really,
tea.
We're bearing in hard. What's that Buster quote? I don't know. Oh,
We blew right through nap time.
I blew right through nap time and I'm bearing down hard on bedtime. Yeah,
so you're like,
tea
oh,
it is.
It's so tired in here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't turn the AC on. There's a lot of stuff happening. Mm-hmm, also, mm-hmm. Full disclosure, I've had a fucking bad day. I might as well say it if I'm spacey tonight. Some asshole 20-year-olds smashed into my car parked outside of my house last night. It's been a nightmare. Mm-hmm, everything's mm-hmm. fine. Everyone's safe and sound, and their insurance is covering it. But that doesn't mean it wasn't annoying all day long.
Did they make it to the party?
I don't think so, but they did. They did say several times, "We're missing the game," and then at one point she said, "Oh my
game?
God, my ride," because her car was all because
of her ride, yeah.
And I'm sorry, I was like, "But my ride? What about my ride?"
Now, when I'm president, there will be instead of cops, because we'll get rid of those, there will be roaming men who tell you if you get to commit a murder or not. And in that situation, Katie, my roving gang of armed men would say, "You get a murder."
Really?
Does it have to be the people who did it? Or could it be anybody?
It could be anybody. You've like just been in a bad enough...
You just pick anybody.
You get a murder. Yeah, it's a flawless situation that I will institute instead of a social safety net.
I mean, it's very tempting. I'm proud of myself. I'll share one thing that I'm proud of, because there was a moment where I felt the fury seething in me. Mm-hmm. And I looked around at my neighbors, whom I want to keep their respect. And I swallowed it, and this girl was obviously upset, and I said, it's okay, because at the end of the day, nobody was hurt. And I mean this, but I was also really angry, and that these car accidents, things like this, are just like a reminder that you're driving something that can kill people, that you mm-hmm. is lethal, and even good drivers make mistakes. And I was proud of myself for saying those words, which I believe to be true, but I wasn't earnestly feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on from my 24-hour mess and talking about tonight's mess, the debate.
The debate.
Oh,
new
man.
New tone.
Except they never really used those mic cutoffs, did they?
No.
Not really.
Why would they do
no,
that?
No, they didn't at all. There was actually the funny moment of Trump being actually funny showed that they didn't mute the mics at all. They were still on. It was just they were showing, I guess, respect to each other and not talking over each other. But when Biden was like, I don't even know where this guy comes from, man. And he kept talking. And then you can hear Trump go, Queens. Very funny.
There several little moments like that. But it just makes me think there are so many times when he is up there and he is very clearly improvising. He's improvising. He's making up stories. Biden brings up China and he goes, well, nah, what about you in China? How about this thing? It's like, man, he's just really off the cuff so clearly. Those are the moments where it's like, stop. Why are you letting him very clearly manufacture stuff on the fly?
The beautiful thing about him. There's a very solid, beautiful, wonderful Trump impressionist going around recently that sort of nails that aspect of him. I think it's like the one good Trump impression where like he talks about Scooby-Doo or Weird Al.
I saw this
the accordion.
One, yeah.
But he embodies that element of Trump, which I don't think many impressionists do. Of like, oh no, he's like at the end of his rope. He's just saying whatever comes to his brain and keeps going. He's just rolling over and rolling over and rolling over, just going through. But then when you make it a topic as silly as Scooby-Doo, it really, really highlights it.
Yeah.
As opposed to like, you know, Kids in Cages or things
I
want to
talk
that.
About.
Lots of stuff. There's lots of stuff.
So let's talk about moments that really... just astounded. I don't know if astounded. Did you guys have any moments where you're like, oh, or like, you know, your people that you were watching with, you know, that had like visceral reactions? Because you just reminded me of one.
I'm not blown away because he's talked about it before. I was a little surprised that it happened, and then they just kept going, and then it's just out there. When he talked about the IQs of people. Who show up to their court?
Didn't like that. Yeah,
really didn't like that.
I wrote that down
IQs.
Somewhere.
Really, really irked me. Irksome.
I found it very funny when Trump called the Proud Boys the Poor Boys. I laughed a lot at that.
That was Biden, wasn't
Biden
it?
Did, yeah,
oh, sorry,
yeah,
Biden. Not Trump.
Very funny.
That was very funny. I didn't find it funny when they both entered into a lengthy debate about who put children in cages first.
That's what I was building to. And when Trump said,
that wasn't great.
You did nothing in your 4 years but build cages for children. And I gasped.
Bold.
Yeah. I mean,
real ballsy move there, buddy.
Just like. What?
The audacity.
The audacity of using our terminology, our outrage.
Yeah, our problem with him. You don't get to play Trump. He has that
because
a lot.
We're
it's
mad
very
at
frustrating.
You about
he doesn't,
it.
He doesn't get,
I don't
to, he doesn't
think
get
about-
to sit here. Whenever he does that kind of stuff, I'm like, shut the fuck up. That's our thing. You don't get to do it. Yeah, that was wild. Things like that where he's like, oh, yeah, you did it. And then like the moderator can't correct him or pinpoint it. Like, okay, but you see the difference between doing that and what you did, right?
Right. But no. I will say, in general, pretty impressed with her. There are moments where I can't imagine cutting him off and reining him in more than what happened tonight. She was on point, if you frequently at least, with follow-up questions, like with the vaccine. Let's talk about that moment up top.
How we're definitely going to get one, but we're not, but we are.
Have a vaccine soon. And then she was like, within weeks. And she says, what do you mean within weeks? And he was like, I don't know, by the end of the year. And she's like, okay, who are the companies? And he's like, oh, Johnson.
He names every single company.
All the companies he knows.
I laughed and laughed and laughed.
It was... You know, one of the cool things about this debate is that there's a war that's been going on for most of both all three of our lives, and it didn't come up once in this
debate. Not once.
It's very funny that they keep just not talking about it. Like, fuck it. Like, yeah, we're fighting in Afghanistan. People are dying, but like, who gives a shit? And like, I shouldn't expect people to care because they never have. They cared for about 48 hours after we invaded Afghanistan, and it's been a steady downward slope then. But it's a bummer. I'm glad that they finally found time to talk about climate change in the last 8 minutes of the debate.
They got there. They finally got there.
Yeah, it was a race to see who could talk about liking fracking the most. But
unbelievable.
Biden did commit. He committed to saying that like oil and gas industry jobs had to be phased out for something else, which was something. Like that was a thing.
Yeah, that's at the very least, he's saying the ultimate goal is that, we eventually get rid of those jobs because we're creating new jobs. And like that's like the kind of messaging where it's like, yeah, just say that. You're going to make a bunch of new jobs that will help this. Whenever they brought up the, he kept saying, you said you'd ban fracking, but now you're not. As if like Trump is ever consistent with anything he says. They started sharing the clips of that online. And if you watch him, he's just saying that like they're going to phase out fracking. Like, it's still not even saying the thing that that they're claiming. I don't know. The whole thing is very weird and frustrating.
Healthcare.
Healthcare. Boo. Speaking of healthcare, Biden just tweeted, call it Biden care.
Call it Biden care.
With an image macro that says, Biden care, lower premiums, deductibles, and drug prices offer everyone a choice. Keep private insurance or join a Medicare-like public option. Everyone can have coverage. So Biden care. We're calling it Biden care now.
Biden care. I was like, oh, all right. New branding, huh? But he did say healthcare is a human right. He said that phrase.
He did say that.
He did not quite say that.
Well, he said,
and I'm going to directly quote him, that everybody has the right to have affordable health care. What he said.
You're right.
Is that what he said? Okay.
Affordable health care is
everybody
a right.
Everybody has the right to have affordable health care.
I think that he then used the phrase human right at another point. I think he said it's a human right.
He has said health care is a human right before. He's tweeted at it. It bothers me every time because he doesn't believe it. It's very frustrating to see him say that everybody has the right to affordable health care. He's just saying it out loud. He's emphasizing the words that he knows he needs to say. I won't focus on it too much. It just really, really bothers me. And then whenever I point that out, people are like, well, what's the difference? Like, well, you don't have the right to an affordable vote. You have the right to vote. That's what it means. That's what those words mean. Rights aren't dependent on affordability. So it bothers me that he is adopting the language of that in order to sell something that is not that. It's very bothersome.
I completely agree with you. I don't know. I'm still a little bit high, to be honest. And this just came to my mind. You know, in all these countries where they have, you know, health care for everybody, people pay money, but it's like $5. That's affordable health care. You know,
right?
What you classify as affordable health care is not affordable health care.
No. I mean,
it all adds up. Everything adds up.
I mean, people pay more in taxes, but at the end of the day, like the reality of it is that when people feel under the weather, they just go to a doctor and they don't worry about it. Is this doctor going to, am I going to get a bill 3 weeks later for $1,400 like fucks my entire life up? And the doctor will never tell me if I'm actually going to get a bill or not, because that's not the way healthcare here works. You go in because you feel bad and you don't know if you're going to get charged, and they won't tell you, and then you get a giant bill and it ruins your life. That doesn't happen in those countries.
That doesn't happen.
Massive debt from hospital stuff years back. But like the other thing you mentioned, their taxes are higher. They also are paid more. Like,
and they have a variety of benefits.
Higher.
Yeah.
It's like, it all it all works out fine.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, like, you can go to, like, if you talk to people in any of these other fucking countries and you mention premiums and deductibles and copays, they have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. Those ideas are foreign to them. There are three different tiers that you have to, like, go through. It's three levels of money. It's ridiculous. And to say that we have the right to bring those prices down a bit is just, like, such a bastardization of the phrase healthcare is a human right. It's very, yeah. very disconcerting.
I like that we didn't talk at all about Antifa. That was nice.
Yeah, that was nice.
I was good to get a debate in which nobody threatened people that I care about directly, more implicitly. Right. A lot of implicit threats.
Implicit, absolutely.
Yeah. But not direct, so that made it a good debate.
It's a win.
Trump was a really different guy this debate.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, he didn't want to get muted.
Yeah.
No. Like, no,
you could see him trying so hard.
He knew. Yeah. He knew.
He was really worried about how it would look if he got muted. And he either that or because of the response he got last time, he was extra careful to, like, not be a giant dick this time. But, like, he was vaguely polite to people. Like, for Trump, like, he was Trump polite to people. Yeah.
It was the most, quote, normal debate that we have seen since he said he wanted to be the president of the United States.
It's the first moment.
Every Republican debate, everything with Hillary, everything with Biden, it was the closest.
It was the first debate since he came down that fucking escalator or whatever he came down that felt like a normal American political debate. And when I say that, I mean both candidates argued at length about who was more responsible for all the children in cages, but nobody mm-hmm. said yeah. that it was wrong mm-hmm. to put children in cages.
Yeah.
Which is, again, a thing that we ought to deal with next.
I mean, unbelievable. Okay. I noticed something. First of all, I'm tired of comparing him to a toddler, but it's really hard not to. I mean, how often things are unfair. You know, just all of it. He's like a whiny fucking toddler. Also, at the beginning of it, very much felt like, I tweeted about this, but a kindergarten teacher talking to naughty children about the classroom rules. Like, okay, now if you talk over each other, you will be muted. So there's that. He's pretty masterful at pivoting and then just running away with that pivot so that you get really far away from things. But there were a bunch of moments where Biden really kind of landed an appeal to the American public about him, like, landed a point about his lies. I think there was one when talking about coronavirus and he said stuff about the vaccines are going to be coming out soon. And he's like, he told us it would be gone in by Easter. He told us that this. And it was like a really sincere thing. And I'm like, yes. And then Trump jumps in and pivots it away. And he starts throwing outlandish things at Biden every time. Every time Biden would say something, bringing up this new bank account in China. I already said this. He would then pivot and turn it into Biden. And I know that people noticed it, but it is effective, I think.
I don't know. We'll see if it is effective.
We'll see. But I mean, with his base, it is. I don't think. I will say, I do not think that people watch this and get won over by Donald Trump.
It's nice when, like, when we, you know, we see those things. We watch it and we're like, oh, well, that's, he's pivoting, he's changing the subject or whatever. It's nice when, I think Pence did this a little bit when he was debating Kamala, where he was like, she didn't answer the question. We talked about this, and he said that, and then that's what people talk about, because he said it out loud.
Because he said it,
and it's very helpful in those situations if Joe or the moderator even was like, well, you pivoted to something else. That's not what I asked, or you didn't answer the question, things like that. Because if you say it out loud, that's when it sticks with people that it happened, as opposed to sort of like absorbing that it happened. Like, we all sense it happens. Your brain knows it, but like you don't really acknowledge it. So it'd be nicer if things like that. Like,
well, I mean, I'll say there's some part of me that you're like, well, what is he talking about? What are these stories that he's saying? I'm like, he's making shit up. I'm like, well, there's probably a grain of truth. No, stop. Like,
I
spending amount of time questioning that. And at the end of the day, okay, we talk about undecided voters. I don't think there's undecided voters. I think there are people that don't care enough to vote. You know what I mean? I think there's a difference. But if you're
Or people who listened to the arguing about who put more children in cages debate and said, why the fuck would I bother voting?
Right, exactly. But like, either way, so there's people watching this, and then at the end of the day, what you're looking at are two old men that sound equally fraudulent, that both sound like bad, mm-hmm, corrupt, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, and to people who are just frustrated by all of it and like wash their hands, they're like, fuck this, you know? So it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter that most people don't believe the things that he's saying. He's putting it out there, and so it takes root, mm-hmm, in some capacity.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's frustrating because, yeah, he says the thing and then it's out there and that's it. It's like the same thing with like if you tweet something that's not true and it gets all this traction and then you tweet later on like, it wasn't true. That no one's going to see that second one. The thing that was said first is what spreads and what sticks with people. I will say one thing I like kind of to what you were talking about, Katie, when that Biden had a few moments where you're like, oh, yeah. Like there were actually I was like doing my dishes listening to it. And there were a few times where I was like, no, say this. And then a minute later, he'd say
and then he
it,
did.
Kind of.
And like, a couple times,
right,
too.
All right.
I said, say Central Park 5. And then he did.
Yeah. There are a few. I wish
I
he,
think
like,
that I have credit for that. I think he heard me on
the
phone.
I think you did it, too. We thank you. The nation thanks
you're
you.
You're welcome, guys. No problem.
But I think, like, one of the things I think was great that I wish he hammered it a little bit more, brought it up a little bit more, and made the point a little better. But he at least touched on it. Because whenever Biden brings up blue states or the Democratic governors or whatever, and Biden or Trump, whenever Trump does, and Biden was finally like, hey, America, I will be your president no matter what. I'm a Democrat through and through, but I don't see red states or blue states. I see you all as Americans. He sees you as blue or red and voters or non-voters, people who aren't going to vote for him. I wish he brought up that that report about how he was like think about like withholding aid, from blue states, because because of his reasons. But I appreciated that Joe pointed out that that selfish cruelty that Trump has when it comes to red and blue states.
I mean, Trump was up there. We're talking about coronavirus. He's like gloating about how badly New York and California and places like that were hit. He's up there like, did you see them?
That was funny. And Pennsylvania, the key swing state that he kept shitting on.
Meanwhile, on Twitter, it's trending how all the rural states are seeing crazy surges. So there's that.
It's good.
But they went away, so it's fine. The spike and it goes away. Spike and it goes away.
All right. We're going to take a real quick break and think about more things to say, and then we're going to be back with more things to say.
Fingers crossed.
If you're one of those people who doesn't like it when people watch you use the bathroom, you probably should close the door when you do it, right? Like, I mean, probably, right? Seems like common sense. Well, using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door, because your internet service provider, like a Comcast or your Verizon, knows every single website you visit. They can sell that information to ad companies and tech giants to use your data to target you. And if you don't like those spot-on Instagram targeted ads that always sell you exactly what you need, then you need to get something like this to keep that out, like ExpressVPN, which stops this by creating a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet so that your online activity can't be seen by anybody. ExpressVPN works on phones, laptops, and even routers, so everyone who shares your Wi-Fi can still be protected even if they don't have ExpressVPN. Just fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected by the world's number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, The Verge, and countless others. I use ExpressVPN because I'm not a hacker and it's easy to use. Like we said, just the tap of a button. So if you're like me and you believe your online activity is your business and your business alone, well, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/morenews today. Use my exclusive link, expressvpn.com/morenews, and you can get an extra 3 months free. That's right. ExpressVPN.com/morenews.
Hey, It's time now, instead of that, to talk about Skillshare, an online learning community with thousands of classes for creative and curious people. With so many things and conversations happening around the world, Skillshare can help you find your voice, deepen existing passions, and explore new skills with classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it, like pie, or how to find more pie. Most of Skillshare's classes are under 60 minutes, with short lessons to fit your schedule and skill level, from come on, man, to oh, you got this, to well, la-dee-da. Those are the skill levels. Members get unlimited access to thousands of classes, with hands-on projects and feedback from a community of millions. You're all well aware of world-famous actual hero Snoofle Doofle, created from a Skillshare class on an After Effects plugin called Duik. But I also have my eye on Mastering Illustration, Sketching, Inking, and Color Essentials with Josiah Brooks, so that Snoofle Doofle can look a lot better. They've got classes on productivity, which I think a lot of us could probably use right now, marketing, filmmaking, so many options and opportunities at just $10 a month. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/news2, that's the numeral 2, and the first 1,000 people to use that new link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium Membership. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at Skillshare.com/news2. Again, it's the numeral 2. Don't spell out 2.
We are back, and we've got more things to say about the debate that was tonight, that was last night, for those of you listening to this.
Everything is now. Time is immaterial. The space-time continuum has collapsed under the weight of 2020, and all things are eternal.
We are one, and we are nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. As Joe Biden chanted with blank eyes, while Donald Trump's head spun around and he vomited two-thirds of the way through the debate.
Very presidential.
Very, on both of their parts, actually. I support them both now.
A shift in tone. Very proud of both of them. Man,
really like
that. I
want
to see that debate.
Yeah.
I want to talk about some good things. I think, Cody, you wanted to do. There was one thing in particular that I really liked that Biden did.
Ooh.
Was his conversation about drug courts.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
And how... He brought that up a couple times, and I literally, the first time I was nodding my head in agreement, and then he brought it up again, and I was like, yes, I agree with him. I agree with him.
He unequivocally stated, number one, he did the thing that I should be the norm with people who have had this kind of career, but doesn't happen anymore, where he admitted to a mistake in his past.
Yes.
And then he said unequivocally that the war on drugs has been a failure, which was good. That was a nice moment. Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, he certainly has a personal story that has affected him, and probably at least his view of drugs and how we handle drug addiction in our country. I mean, and that hits home for me. People in my family would have been greatly benefited from a system. Instead of putting people in prison for drug offenses, put them into rehab. And of course, my family has so much privilege and are white and come from a middle class background and all of that. So I know how much worse it is for other people. Anyway, that really resonated with me.
I don't love the idea of mandatory rehab for drug offenses. But
it beats fair. Prison. Yeah,
it beats prison.
But it also, I think, to me, when I hear that, I don't know, mandatory. I think that might maybe depends on the situation, like the number of offenses to me. But yeah, the details of stuff would have to be hashed out, and there are probably plenty of things I would disagree with. But in general, the sentiment of nobody should be in jail, in prison for drug offenses. Yeah, what a different country we would have.
War on drugs being a bad idea and a mistake and a failure. Mm-hmm. I'm all for that.
And just the basic statement that possession or addiction to drugs ought not be criminalized. Like, we should have been there from the beginning. Like, we should have never.
Before
at least
started.
Finally someone said it. In a presidential debate. Yes.
That's one thing that frustrates me with Joe Biden, but also gives me a little bit of positivity in terms of like the possibility, I guess. Last debate, he talked for way too long about how he's not going to ban fracking. And that changed opinions of Democrats on fracking.
It sure did. That's a bad thing.
It's a bad thing. It made Democrats less okay with a ban on fracking. It changed public opinion, like, in a drastic way. Like, it was, I forget, like 12, 14 points or something like that.
Really? I miss this.
Yeah.
Fuck.
And that's like wild. Same thing with the Amy Coney Barrett hearings. After hearing like Dianne Feinstein and everyone praise Lindsey Graham for what a great hearing it was, people are very comfortable, more comfortable with her.
I hate
being,
that.
Yeah, it's gross and unbelievable.
No, it's a horrible.
And Feinstein today being like, this is illegitimate. It's like, well, you complimented it like 5 days ago.
Yeah.
But so like all those things, the public opinions changed based on those events and those sort of things. And it is a testament to how easy that is to do. Like, we've talked for a long time about like, oh, well, if you say healthcare is right over and over and over again, eventually a lot of people are going to start saying it too. If Joe Biden today came out and said, actually, Medicare for all is a good idea and we're going to do it, everyone would be on board. Everyone in the Democratic Party would be on board. Everyone. The media would no longer ask, well, how are you going to pay for it? How are you going to pay for it? All that stuff would melt away because the leader, the figurehead that everyone's looking to, says that it's good and they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And I don't have a lot of hope that he'll actually say that kind of thing. But I don't know. It speaks to how easy it actually is to change people's minds. Everyone's like, oh, you gotta do this, you gotta work, you gotta change hearts and minds. No, you don't. You gotta get one fucking guy to say it on stage.
This is like
need.
The fucking thing that is, as an anarchist, the thing that causes me to question some of my beliefs the most is the fact that it does matter if the big, tall, white dude in charge of the country says, hey guys, masks, good idea. That matters. And I hate that it does. It should.
But
it shouldn't matter what he says. Everyone should be like, oh, yeah, plague spread by droplets in your fucking saliva. Yeah, let's all fucking wear masks.
Right. Yeah.
Everyone should just do that. But we don't. And I hate it. just like it. I hate that it matters that if Joe Biden were to say, you know, what's cool is socialized medicine. And suddenly millions of people who would like wrestle me against it would support it tomorrow.
They'd be
I
on
hate
board,
it.
On board.
It's not good.
It sucks. It's frustrating.
How do we just get the old white guys on board, man?
You got to trick them. Got to play them for fools.
Agree with you both completely.
Yeah. That's a frustrating thing, but an interesting thing. And I think the kind of thing that, like, again, like, I wish Kamala Harris was capable of saying, yeah, I'm his running mate. I disagree with him on Medicare for all. I think we should do it.
Yeah, it's
I guess
such
we won't,
a weird.
But I will push him to do it. You know,
system that we have. It's like dishonest. I mean, I know you've talked about this. We've all. It's so frustrating, especially with the whole primary season, of how these people that stand on stage arguing against each other, and then as soon as there's a nominee, she's like out the window. What the thing that she cared about and talked about. And I don't believe that she doesn't believe that that's what we. You know, I think that she probably believes that, and you know, but
there's no way for me to
maybe she
I
doesn't. I just feel
I
like
saying, yeah.
Either way, she at least believes that it could be a possibility. She saw the benefit of it as a campaign cornerstone. So,
yes. She got on board when Bernie needed people to get behind
him
weird. On that stage. Yeah.
You're right. It's weird that becomes taboo thing to talk about, but we should all be able to.
Yeah.
You could say it. Yeah, we disagree on some things. I still think that I still think he'll make a good president. Whatever it is.
Yeah, we disagree on things. That's why we ran against each other for the presidency.
Let's not pretend.
It's so fucking childish to not be able to say those kinds of things. We're a bunch of children. What a diseased political system we have.
No, it's a problem. It's all a problem.
We founded this country running away from like the strict regulated England and British and whatever and starting this new path in this new future.
No, we founded this country on hatred of the English, and that's the only thing I still love about it. Like, we all can agree on that.
Powerful, potent.
Yeah, fuck all English people.
No, we rebelled against.
Emulated the same rituals and the same things that they hated and rebelled against, you know, just in their own different way with their own branding. Anyway, Cody, you wanted to talk about good things that Biden did.
I did. I did. I we'll no longer talk about healthcare, because that's the issue that I think frustrates me the most about Joe Biden specifically.
Yeah, he was so close. Donald Trump talking about, we want to get rid of Obamacare and we're going to come up with something new and something better. You know, some a beautiful, beautiful plan. And you've just, always talked,
you mean,
about,
oh yeah,
he should become
it's right there.
I was like,
it's right
this
there.
Is your chance right now, buddy. Grab it. You're so close. It's dancing on your lips. It's dancing on your lips and it wants to come out.
He knows.
Say
he knows
that
he
you'll
wants
give
to.
Healthcare
he
to
but,
everybody
mm-hmm.
for free.
He could do it. I don't think he should, because I know that whatever Trump puts together will be exclusionary towards vulnerable people.
Of course
but
it will.
If I were advising him on how to win the presidency, I would say, yeah, just say you're going to give universal healthcare. Just say it. Just say Medicare for all.
You don't ever have
there
to do
go.
It.
His cult will get on board, and then a bunch of other people will get on board.
What if
there you
a
go.
Thought
don't
experiment,
believe him
though.
On anything.
What if
he
what
would
if
convince
he says
all of them
it,
that socialism is good? If he were like, actually,
what,
socialism
that's
is
what
good,
I mean.
They'd be like, yeah.
What weird turn of events if he says, okay, Medicare for all, and then the Republicans all get on board, and then it becomes the Democrats who are staunchly opposed to things like that. Yeah. Anyway, continue
anyway,
with the good
anyway,
things.
I would still be opposed to that, because, again, whatever version the Republicans
whatever
put together is going to be
I know.
Cruel. But the good thing, what was that going to be? Who knows? I just wanted, I guess, basically to compliment Joe Biden on doing like a pretty good job for the first two-thirds of the debate. He kept it together. It wasn't...
you say for the first two-thirds?
Yeah, he kind of like wavered towards
the
end.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Maybe he's getting a little tired. Maybe whatever, you know, baby's
sleepy?
Blood. The baby's blood was wearing off.
I mean, if you take baby's blood... You know that you get a solid 45 minutes out of that baby's blood, but then you got to juice it up. And if you're not going to like, I mean, to be honest, you want to shoot a little bit of puppy semen.
Really?
You really want to get,
bit,
yeah, if you want to get another solid hour, because otherwise you get the jitters.
It.
That's the way it works.
It's like when you smoke a cigarette after smoking weed. It like gives
exactly.
you, it's like a little kick. It's a little
exactly.
kick.
Exactly. The baby's blood is the marijuana, and then the cigarette is the puppy's blood. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly.
Semen.
It's puppy semen.
Semen. Yes. Sorry. I forget the difference between semen and blood sometimes. I live on the West Coast.
That's a problem. But, you know, you'll figure
it's
it out.
Definitely
we believe
weird.
In you. That must be why Biden was checking his watch at one point, because he was like, oh, no, the baby's blood is wearing off.
Wait, should I be concerned, Robert?
You about the semen or about the blood?
Either
it
way.
It can be both. Apparently to you, it's both. So either.
Oh, I mean,
what's
we're
going
on the West
over
Coast,
there?
Baby. It's fine.
Okay, good things, Cody. Good things. Tell me the good things.
Good things. Oh, yeah. No, just generally, I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, he seems like he's kind of on top of things. He's responding in a way that's like, yeah, that's a pretty good response. He didn't waver as much as probably last time. I'm sure a lot of factors went into that. One of them being he didn't have Donald Trump just being like, but what about, you know, for the
that
every,
whole thing
said.
Was a specific, I mean, it's what he does, but it also was meant to rattle him.
And yeah, he did it on purpose.
To get him
exactly.
to stutter and to get tripped up.
It was very funny. I mean, not that that happened, but that Trump couldn't do the thing that he always does.
Yeah,
but
he couldn't
be
do
a
it.
Giant asshole.
And
yes.
He's just up there squirming, like wanting to say something, but not doing it.
I enjoyed
again.
That a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you could tell. Oh, there are a few times when like he did a face and you're like, oh, you, oh, buddy,
you're
so
pissed.
Upset.
You're so angry.
You're so mad.
I loved
and, you
it
know,
so
and,
much.
You know, we can see it and you don't want us to see it. Oh, buddy.
Amazing.
You piece of shit. You're so
he's
unhappy right
so
now.
He's just so transparent. Like, I've never seen anybody more transparent than him. Just like all of your emotions on display. Anyway.
Yeah, it was a sight to behold. I did it also, like, every once in a while, Biden would look into the camera as Trump was talking, like, come on, man.
We're gonna get a lot of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. I also liked, and I think this is a smart way to go about it, especially, like, you're talking about, like, this, like, China stuff, or, like, this deal. Oh, I got
oh, God.
One other
oh,
thing
Oh, God,
this.
I have my favorite moment we have to talk about.
when Joe started talking directly to America and like, you don't care about this stuff. You don't care about my family or his family. You care about your family. You care about like whether you can't get your tires, new tires because you got to wait a month. You can't do this. You can't do that. Talking about like what American, like, what people, what human beings, like, worry about in their daily lives. And Trump was like, this is the politician move. This politician this instead of talking about is about what we're talking about. It's like, man,
so good.
He's talking about people and what they need, man. Like,
oh,
what
God.
Are you doing?
So many times. I mean, they're... I forget what the actual question was, but it was like, what would you say to people, to like Black Americans that, you know, are suffering under, you know, all the things. I can't remember the question. And he took that opportunity to rail into Biden instead of taking the opportunity to actually address Americans. And then also claim to the half Black woman that he is the least racist person in the room, also the least the best
he
president.
He did it three times.
Yeah,
he does it so
it was
much.
So good. That was
the
best
the
part
hits.
Of the debate.
I can't with this fucking guy.
I've got and a better like, part of the debate
awesome.
For you.
I love
I'm
it.
About to remind
I'm
you
for him now. Fuck it.
I'm about to remind you of an even better part of the debate. But go ahead, Cody.
It's just okay. Like, literally anybody in the room, whenever he says it all the time. He talks about this all the time. He's done more for the Black community than any other president, except maybe Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
He's
racist.
He's close with the guy who did the Emancipation Proclamation.
Close. Maybe. I'm like edging him out a little bit, probably. Maybe I'm like right behind, but maybe I'm right ahead. It's wild that he says this
over
regularly. And nobody has ever, and not even like
not even the Black president we had.
Don't even say like, do you really think that? Just say, Mr. President, you know he freed the slaves, right? just say what he did and then see what Trump says in response to that. You know there are other presidents that gave Black people the right to vote, right? Right?
Black president.
You know there was a Black president. You know, like, name
you
anything.
You hate him. You hate him.
It's so wild that he gets away with saying that and nobody's like, but he freed the slaves, man. Like, how could you even say that?
But also, again, Abraham Lincoln was very racist.
Yes,
he met with Black leaders to see
if
LBJ, you
know,
LBJ's
who
garbage.
Hasn't
like, all garbage.
Been
every fucking president's
the president.
Racist. Every all president's racist. They're all racist. They all suck. But like the audacity. Nobody in the room is like, but sir.
But
surely
sir,
you know what he did.
Can
it's
I
wild.
Pivot?
Yes.
Well, and we
say
had LBJ,
another amazing moment. I don't think we've talked about it yet, but we're talking about the coronavirus. And
hell
like, will you take responsibility? He says, I do take responsibility. It's not my fault. It's China.
There's a good slowdown of Biden's face when Trump said that. It's pretty sweet. Yeah.
I do take responsibility. It's China's
fault. I love it. It's you can't write. This stuff is so beautiful.
I guess there's not much to unpack here, but whoa, man. I mean, we can talk about how many times he referred to the virus in a very racist way, but who wants to do that?
I mean, he already talked about all these low IQ people and how, it's just like,
I mean, we really breezed through that.
Racism.
Like, we breezed through that border talk. I mean, we were talking about separating children and what to do about the 545 children whose parents can't be located. And he said, I mean, he said lots of stuff, but he said, you know, they're in lots of, they're in good places. They're in like, you should see the facilities where they're in.
Also, that ain't true.
That ain't true.
They like had to go to fucking, they had to go to like a judge to like allow them to like not give them toothpaste.
Yeah, let's just remind you guys of how awful it is in these facilities.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And how many children have died?
So many kids have lice. It's like, it's very unsanitary. They're packed. It's not good. Also, didn't he say good in response at one point?
I don't know.
I people were mentioning that and I missed it.
I might have missed that one. I had to take my dog out at one point. Talking about the only ones that try to come back are the ones with the lowest IQ.
Yeah, that was a good line.
I was furious. Of
course I was.
Yeah, it's infuriating. A lot of the things he says are infuriating. And yeah, just like, I mean, him claiming like, well, they all came with coyotes and drug dealers. Yep. It's like, no, no, they came with their parents. They came with parents. They came with parents. So I appreciate, again, I appreciate some of that pushback.
No, I mean, it's just, it's the thing that is consistent about Joe Biden, which is that for all of the ways in which he's disappointing, and they're most of the ways, he's like at a basic level, like a human person.
Yeah.
Like he,
that's what people really respond to.
He won't
to.
Say it was unequivocally wrong to have cages for migrants, but he will yeah. say, no, they were separated from their parents.
Yeah.
Because that's like the minimum. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, was it baby steps.
Fuck. Under their administration, they made the cages for the unaccompanied minors.
So what actually happened is that when they had this big surge, I think Honduras was like a big chunk of it, and there's some, I'm not wildly well informed about yeah. what happened in Honduras, but yeah, I believe that yeah. our government had some roles in the situation that brought people
uh-huh.
there from here fair, or fair here guess. From there. But yeah, they wound up in these, like, there were more people than our border patrol officials were able to handle, and they wound up in these, like, sweltering, inhumane facilities,
right.
and the news reported on it, and it caused a public outcry, and so they bought, I think it was, like, a former Walmart building, and refitted it with, like, chain-link fences and stuff on the inside, the quote-unquote cages, and it was a lot better than what had existed before. It was air-conditioned and vaguely humane, but it also looked horrific. Now, yeah. parents were not separated from their children generally in there. Like, mothers and children were kept together in, like, one cage. And, like, so, not great, not defending it. I don't think any of it was good. But the mass separation of families in that facility happened later.
Yeah, yeah. And was a specific policy put together to deter people from coming here. It was an act of cruelty,
yes.
specifically to stop people.
Right, that's, we're on Trump now, yes.
Yeah, which Biden pointed out, actually. He's like, no, you did it to deter people from coming here as a deterrence.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that Biden really responded well to a lot of things. Like, kept his cool and concisely, especially when it was peppered in, yeah, in moments
yeah,
like that. But
like more than I expected.
And peppered in all of those direct appeals to the American public, which I think really landed.
So before we get to the closing statements, the beautiful end to our beautiful debate, I did want to mention one last thing that I think is very, very funny that just really breezed by. So earlier today, there was a report about this, all this like China Hunter Biden stuff. And mm-hmm. there was a report that Donald Trump was going to bring a guest today to the debate. And that guest is Tony Bobulinski.
Yeah, baby.
And who's Tony Bobulinski?
Tony.
Oh, you
Bobulinski.
Don't know Tony Bobs?
You do not keep up with the news. Tony
God
Bobby.
Damn, you should be yeah. embarrassed of not knowing Tebow.
Should I be?
Tony Bobs.
Tony Bobs had a meeting with James Biden and Hunter Biden at some point about
all right,
well,
now, okay, hold up here. There's a James.
Who's James?
I don't think I don't
Biden's
recall
brother,
approving this.
I'm pretty sure. That's so Hunter's uncle. Hunter's uncle James.
Okay.
Okay.
I think.
Joe's
Hunter
bro.
Had a meeting with his Tony Bob guy, and they were talking about like family business and like family name something, and then like nothing came of it, and then Tony's mad about it, I think. I really
Tony's
like I'm
mad
yeah,
about it.
It seems like there's all these emails where things were like offered that might have been illegal, but nothing was ever done. And
nothing
okay.
was done, like, and it was in 2017,
why,
I think.
Yeah.
I really missed this completely. Okay.
Biden wasn't in public office.
It
and
just
he
pales
didn't
in comparison.
Do anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've seen tweets like, oh, this could be a big scandal. It's like, there's
no
a
one, no
there's
one
five, there
really?
Are five scandals from Trump every single day, and they all disappear.
How
I don't give a fuck about this meeting
I
with
know.
Tony Bobulinski. But
T-Bobs.
There was a lot of reports about it today. He held a press conference to talk about the meeting that nothing came from. The idea was that Trump was having Tony Bobulinski at the debate in the audience to like throw Biden off his game or whatever, in the same way that he did with Hillary in 2016 by bringing
Juanita Broderick. Yeah.
Which
swing
I'm
and a
gonna
miss.
Say that's maybe a little more effective than Tony Bobulinski.
Yeah, I don't think Biden's throat. I bet
does he even know what Tony Bob's
Nobody
look like?
Nobody fucking knows who this fucking guy is. And
that's
so
the best thing about this is that, like, Biden is, unlike with, you know, when people would bring up Bill Clinton scandals, Hillary was deeply personally familiar with everything that happened there.
Yeah.
You get the feeling Joe Biden only has the vaguest idea of what his son has been up to.
Tony, he's like, you know a guy named Tony?
Well, like, listen.
You're like your son. He's got some problems. He's going through a lot of stuff.
He's always got different buddies rolling through.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that Tony Bob or Tony J?
Right.
You know?
Exactly. Yeah. Tony J. So there's this huge deal made out of Tony Bobulinski coming and, like, he's going to be in the audience. There's a press conference. And then, like, during the debate, I forget the exact line, Trump, you can see Trump trying to bring him up, but he's like, and today there was a guy today that with the press conference earlier, and he said, oh, you'll check it out. Like, he couldn't even pull the trigger on the thing that was the big deal that he was planning to do.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm gonna get Tony Bobulinski to come in the audience to throw him off his game. And then when he brought him up, he's like, there's a guy today. And it was beautiful, and it just, like, it flew by.
He couldn't remember it at all. Yeah, it was so good.
He couldn't remember his name, couldn't remember what any of it was about. But he knew, like, he had to bring up the guy from earlier, and I loved it. It was beautiful.
If I was more caught up on the news, I would have caught that.
Mm.
Robert, let's talk about closing statements.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty simple. You had two different kinds of closing statements. You had Donald Trump, who made a series of incoherent promises about 401ks. And then you had Joe Biden, who, like, talked to all Americans and made very basic promises about, like, we're going to try to make this place better for everybody.
Yeah.
Versus your 401k depression. Yeah, it was very funny. Because, again, not because Joe Biden's promise was, like, good. Like, you throw him up against, again, like, Barack Obama, who he lost to. And, like, it's nothing in terms of, like, a closing speech. But it was like, I'm a human being who cares about people in America, as opposed to the stock market is everything, which was all that Donald Trump could come up with. It was very funny.
Oh, my God.
The floundering from him is very interesting. It's just like he's operating from, like, it's not even operating from, like, 2016 rules. He's operating from, like, a combination of 2016 rules and from him being the president for 4 years.
I think
absorbing Washington, D.C. into that weird thing. It's like, I don't even know what he's doing.
I think he's lost. I don't think he knows what he's doing, and I think he feels that way. Again, this is just my intuition. He also seemed nervous at the top. It's like,
well,
I don't know if anybody picked up on it, but his voice had, like, a little tiny tremor to it. He lost it quick. I feel like he's a little off of his own rails too. He's like, I'm trying this, see if this sticks.
Mm-hmm, well, yeah, he kind of dumped as hard into the fasci pipeline as he could, and it's not working.
I
don't think he really knows what else to do, and his whole brand is built on winning, and that was never true, right? Like, because he's always been a man of many failures.
Yeah,
but
he's
also
a successful loser. That's what he
is. Yeah, like this is something you can't run away from, losing the presidential election, unless he does, in which case I'm wrong. We'll see. We'll see how well he's able to spin it. Like, I'm sure 30% of Americans or so, no matter what happens, you know, if he loses by 110 electoral, you know, college whatevers and like 6% of the popular vote, if he loses as badly as you can fucking lose in these days, I'm sure that 30 or so percent of his base will believe he was robbed and will continue to send him money for nothing.
Yes.
And the chicks for free, which is a pretty good song. And that's my spiel.
A pretty
money
good
for nothing
way to
and chicks for free.
End this episode. You're right. It's a great song. I'm going to go listen to it.
Mm-hmm. We've got to install some microwave ovens, custom kitchen deliveries. We got to move these refrigerators. Yeah. We got to move these color TVs. I want my MTV. I'm sorry, Katie.
No, you're great. I think that we can play exclusively 10 seconds or 12 seconds of that song on the way out.
Let's do the Green Sky Bluegrass cover of it. It's pretty fucking
red. All right. Tight 10 seconds.
Thanks, guys, for chatting with me after the debate.
Hey, thanks for
actually,
chatting.
This was pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
This was way more fun than the debate.
Oh, yeah. Way more fun. It's way more fun to slowly drink and get frustrated and then yell about it later with your friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to continue drinking and write 8 pages about the satanic panic, and
hell
that'll
yeah.
be fun. Because you know what it is not exactly the same as QAnon, but with fewer influential people supporting it. I want my MTV.
That's cute light. Well, that's great news for everybody. All right. You guys know Robert.
Do you? Shit.
Go find
him. He's online at iRideOK. But you already know him and love him. Listen to his shows, mm-hmm. Behind the mm-hmm. Bastards, Behind the Cops, all the things. I'm plugging your pluggables. That's where you can jump in and fill in the gaps.
No, I'm done.
And our show, Worst Year Ever. But for right now, I just want you guys to know that we love you very much.